So, you know, growing up in the Catholic Church, prayer really was simplified to something that you did to earn God's favor back. At least that's how I was taught. So, for example, you'd go to confession, you'd tell the priest all your sins, at least the ones you were willing to share with him. And then afterwards, he'd say, okay, now go and pray 10 Hail Marys and 30 Our Fathers. And you'd go kneel and you'd go through the rhythm of doing all 10 Hail Marys and all 30 Our Fathers. And afterwards, your sins were forgiven. You're good. You'd walk away and you're fine, you know. Or you'd sit down for dinner and you wanted to make sure to give thanks. And so there was this prayer. If you've heard it before, it's, bless us, O Lord, for these thy gifts, which we are about to receive from thy bounty through Christ our Lord. Amen. And you'd say that prayer word for word. And then your food was blessed. It was done, right? And I feel like the Lord has so much more for us. He wants so much more for us in prayer than for it to become a repetition. I bit my tongue when I said that word. He wants it to become something so much more. He actually condemns the Pharisees for praying with vain repetition. And I remember the first time reading that after, you know, really coming to faith in Jesus after growing up in the Catholic Church, I'm like, vain repetition? That's what I've been doing my whole life. You know, it was one of those like eye-opening moments. And so I feel like the Lord really wants to come to him humbly in prayer and understand what this means. And I'm hoping, if nothing else, we all walk away with the desire to spend time one-on-one with Jesus. One-on-one. Okay, now it could be two. It could be you and your spouse. It could be you and a friend. It could be you and your kids, of course. But I want everybody to walk away here having this intimate one-on-one desire to spend with Jesus, because a huge cost was paid for us to be able to have that access, okay? So we're going to be starting out. Well, we're going to have, really, it's a three-point message today. The first one is we want to be praying humbly. The second one is we want to pray persistently. And the third one is we want to pray with expectation, okay? We're going to be talking about those things today. Now, how many weeks should a prayer series be? I could literally talk about prayer for the next 8 weeks and still not even scratch the surface. I feel like more than any of our other core values, I feel like we're barely scratching the surface of this topic today. But I just want us to just kind of walk away with this desire to go a little bit deeper with the Lord in our personal prayer time. So if you brought your Bibles, those of you who did, please turn to Luke chapter 11. We're going to be in Luke 11. The beautiful thing about how Jesus approaches prayer in Scripture is he literally answers the question that the disciples ask, Lord, teach us how to pray. That's pretty nice, right? Not everything's black and white in Scripture, but this is one of those things where they're like, how do we pray? And the Lord answers the question. So we're going to be reading through the Lord's Prayer, but also he packages it with a couple other parables that really open up the purity and the heart that he has for us in prayer. So Luke 11, and we're going to look at the Lord's Prayer. Elijah, why don't you put that on the screen first? There we go. Thank you. You're already on it. Look at you. Let's read this together. It says, I'll read it out loud, but go ahead and in your own heart and mind, read it along. Now it came to pass as he was praying in a certain place when he ceased that one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. So he said to them, when you pray, say, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us day by day our daily bread and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who is indebted to us. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Okay, now, I could have said that by memory, because like I said, I had a lot of sins, and I grew up in the Catholic Church, so I had to say that a lot. But this is how he says, this is how you should pray. But in Matthew, he actually introduces this with a different passage. So we're going to spend most of the time in Luke today, but I want to read how he introduces this in Matthew. So just kind of read along with me, Matthew 6, 5 through 8. It's going to be a lot of kind of scripture jumping around today, but I promise we'll land the plane. Verse 5, Matthew 6, 5 says this, and when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. And when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathens do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Therefore, do not be like them, For your Father knows the things you have need before you ask him. In this manner, therefore, pray. And then he goes into the Lord's Prayer in Matthew. Thing is that when you're praying one-on-one with Jesus in your intimate time, you don't have anyone to impress. No one around you is impressed by how great your words are, you know? Like I asked Elijah to pray this morning when we were in our prayer circle, and you could tell he's a little nervous, you know, a little bit, you know, because there's people that are listening to you, and it's an intimidating environment. When I was in Christian club with Brianna in high school, because I thought she was pretty and she was a Christian and I wasn't, I'm like, cool, I'll go to Christian club because you're there, you know? We prayed in a circle, and I realized that the prayer was moving in a circle towards me, and I was freaking out. And I'm like, this isn't like a popcorn thing and I could just disappear into the background. No, it's coming towards me. And I was so nervous. My hands are sweating now thinking about it. I was so terrified. And I remember it got to me and I just completely clammed up. I didn't say a word. And it was silent for like probably, it felt like 4 minutes, but it was probably like 14 seconds, you know? It was so terrifying. And then the next person's like, I got it. This kid's not going to pray. And it went to the next person. I was so nervous, but the thing is, Jesus is saying, go into that secret place, in that quiet place. Go into your closet. Go into your basement. Go upstairs in the room where nobody is. Get up at 5 a.m. if you have to, when it's dead silent in your house, and pray. And spend that time with Jesus. Spend that secret time with him in that secret place. I just went to a pastor's meeting recently, and one of the pastors, the pastor of the Garden Church, Pastor Michael, just got back from a missions trip in Mexico. And he's like, yeah, and we were asking him how it was. He's like, it was pretty rough, honestly. He's like, everybody got sick. And they're like, oh, what's a mission trip without everyone getting sick, you know? And he's like, everyone was terribly ill. And it was just such a rough time. But yet we still, you know, it was still great. And he shared some stories about how good it was. And he's like, but afterwards I found out somebody on our team was praying that we would really just be broken on this trip. And I'm like, what are you praying that for? Like, knock it off. What are you doing? But you can imagine that kind of prayer has to come from a place of humility. It has to come from a place of humility, because it's not, Lord, help me with my finances. Lord, help me with, and not that that's selfish, because sometimes we do need help with our finances. It's okay to pray that. But it's not like, I really want this car. I really want this house. I really want this thing. It's not coming from a vain place. It's coming from a place of, Lord, I want to be more like you. Break me. Man, what kind of prayer is that? That's such a humble prayer, asking the Lord for brokenness. And so the Lord is teaching us to look inwardly during prayer. Like I said, I'm going to popcorn around a little bit. I'll hear pages flipping. That's okay if you want to try to get there. Luke 18:9 says this. Also, he spoke this parable to some who trusted in themselves. Luke 18:9. They trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus to himself, God, I thank you that I'm not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the tax collector, standing afar off, would not so much as raise his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. Man, it's tough. When people wrong you sometimes and when people hurt you, it's easy for your prayers to start becoming, Lord, fix that person. You know, if you have to break him, you know, whatever you got to do, Lord, strike him down. But you know what? The Lord doesn't want us to pray those types of prayers. God, shower your love on those people, even the people who've hurt us. God, be present, be ever present in their life. Shower them with your love and care. Lord, help me to look at myself. Where am I failing? Where am I prideful? What am I doing wrong? This is the type of stuff the Lord's been breaking me with this week, if you can't tell. As I'm praying these prayers, and the Lord's like, what are you teaching on this Sunday? And I'm like, you know, Lord. And he's like, exactly. Fix it. You know, and I'm like, okay, Lord. You know, and I'm praying, looking inwardly, you know. And I think the Lord is asking us to pray this humble prayer of, Lord, show me the error of my ways. That's what gets exposed in that secret place, doesn't it? When you're one-on-one with him. And that's what I'm encouraging us all to do. Because if we did that, we wouldn't need so much correction from others, would we? You know, we would just spend that time with him, because there's this alignment that happens when we pray. When we spend time with him, he just starts bringing up all the garbage out of our lives, and all the gross stuff starts coming up to the surface. And you're like, Lord, I'm sorry. You know, and sometimes we don't get it, because maybe it's we're laying in bed and we're like, all right, Lord, Father, help me sleep. I pray for this person, amen. And we go to sleep. But I'm telling you, you got to endure. You got to spend a little bit more time. You got to go a little deeper. You got to get yourself to where instead of seconds, it goes into minutes. And then instead of minutes, it goes into 10-minute chunks, you know, and then you start spending time with him and he starts really exposing that stuff that's in our heart. Point one is pray humbly. And I think this verse, Romans 8:26, says this, likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray as we ought. But the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. We don't even know what to pray. The Lord's like, I want you to pray, but you don't even know what to say. So just spend time with me, and the Spirit will help make intercession and will utter for you and with you. I think one way that helps us understand prayer in a more, I don't know, palatable understanding is to picture a child and a parent. And picture a child that's burdened and sad and depressed and overwhelmed, but doesn't even know how to say it. What happens when that kid comes and lays on your lap? You don't need to hear the words, do you? There's the groanings that you can understand. It's there. It's palatable. And as a parent, you know, you understand the pain that they're going through. And so pray humbly. That's number one. We don't pray prideful prayers. We pray humbly. And let the Lord just kind of check your heart on that, because it's easy to be like, I don't pray prideful prayers. I pray humbly. That's what I do. You know, for sure, I get it. But let him go a little deeper in that. Let him check your heart a little bit deeper on that. Point number two is pray persistently. Pray consistently, right? If you're anything like me, the struggle typically is like I start things well, but I'm not super persistent and consistent about it. I have to kind of re-up all the time. You know, in high school, I did really well working out because I had a coach and I had a team and I had all this accountability. And then after high school, I worked out in like 1 month chunks every year or so. And it's been getting further and further apart now, how often I work out, you know? The last 1 month, I actually just can't, my gym membership ran out and I was like, whatever. You know, I'm not going to re-up it, you know? It's okay. But the Lord wants us to pray consistently and to keep asking, to keep seeking, to keep knocking, okay? Now, I said Luke 11. So we read the Lord's Prayer in Luke 11. Right after the Lord's Prayer, he felt it necessary to share this story. Luke 11, chapter 5. Elijah, there we go. Thank you. And he said to them, which of you shall have a friend and go to him at midnight and say, friend, lend me 3 loaves? For a friend of mine has come to me on his journey, and I have nothing to set before him. And he will answer from within and say, do not trouble me. The door is now shut. My children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give to you. I say to you, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, yet because of his persistence, he will rise and give him as many as he needs. So he's saying, like, if you go to a friend's house and you're like, hey, I need some bread, give me a few loaves. I have another friend of mine who needs some bread. I don't have anything to give him. It's like, dude, I'm in bed. I got my kids. They just crawled into bed with me. It's nighttime. I'm not getting up to give you bread. And he knocks again. Hey, I need some bread. You know? Like, it's like that joke with the duck. You got any oranges? You know, have you ever heard that one? It's like that persistence, it starts to wear on you. And then you end up giving in and giving him what he needs. Now, Jesus often does these parables where he compares his father to somebody, like a human. And then he's like, now this human who has sin will do it. How much more will your father who loves you do it? Right? That's the understanding we're supposed to get out of this. Not that we need to be these annoying people knocking on the door like, Lord, come on, wake up. You're sleeping. Get up. I need you to answer this prayer. That's not what it's about. He's saying even sinful man will get up out of bed and give his friend bread. How much more will your father who loves you and cares for you and knows your needs give you the things that you need if you keep asking? Now, one of my least favorite spiritual disciplines is, anybody know? Guess? Can Fasting nailed it. Thank you. You know, you nailed it. It's just so tough to not eat for long periods of time. You know what I mean? And I think for the longest time, I thought of fasting as just like this difficult discipline. And I had this pastor that I worked for that just loved fasting. You know, so he's like, hey, we all have this event coming up and there's going to be a lot of people there that don't know Jesus. Let's all fast in preparation for it. And we're like, all of us? Are you sure the Lord's called me to fast? You know, and we would do these because we had a team of like eight. So just like eight dudes and one lady. And we all just kind of like were tight. We were this tight group. And so we would all fast together. You know, I'll tell you this, though, if you want to pray persistently, fast. Because every time your stomach's like, and you hear the grumble, you're like, I'm supposed to pray. And you pray. And then you're starving and you smell food from like 9 miles away. You're like, I have superpowers right now, right? You're like, I gotta pray. I gotta pray. I gotta pray. It's one of the reasons why we fast, is so we can pray. When I was praying about this church plant, before we ever even decided to come out here and plant, I was talking to a mentor, and the mentor told me, he's like, I told him I wanted to plant the church. He's like, great. Have you fasted about it? I said, no. And he's like, I don't want to hear another word. I'm like, dang it, you know, fast again, you know. So I fasted, and it was absolutely wild how the Lord spoke to me through it. A friend of mine who was at a Calvary Chapel church. Now, if you know anything about Calvary Chapel, we are like a Calvary Chapel affiliate church. We're a Calvary Global Network church. Calvary Chapel churches aren't known for being like extremely open in the spiritual gifts. Okay, like they're like Word of God, teaching the Word of God, but yet they're like they're continuationists. Okay, continuationists, which means they believe that the gifts of the Spirit are still at work in the church today. You just don't see it as often in Calvary Chapels because they're like, Word of God. We're teaching the Word of God. And so I went to go talk to a friend. And at the time, we're like, the Lord was just showing me Texas, Texas, Texas during this fast the whole entire time. And on the third day of the fast, I remember telling Brianna, because it was just such a burden, we didn't want to move to Texas. We were like, why are we moving to Texas? Like, we have to leave family. But the Lord was being pretty clear. I'm like, Brianna, the Lord has called us to plant a church. I don't know if he's for sure calling us to Texas. Let's just forget about Texas. Let's put it off the table. We'll plant in San Diego. That's fine. We'll do that. And I went and met with a friend in Temecula at a Calvary Chapel. And I walk in and I'm like, Darius, his name's Darius. What's up, man? So good to see you. And he's like, hey, are you going to Texas? And I was like, what? No. And he's like, I don't know why. I just, for some reason, when you walked in, I saw Texas. I saw the state of Texas in my mind. And I'm like, Darius, like, I hate you, man. I'm like, we just said no to Texas, you know? And the Lord was speaking to me so clearly through others and through circumstances, through the scriptures, through YouTube, you know, videos. I was watching other like sermons and things. God was like, go to Texas, Mike. And I was like, okay. Because we were fasting and we were in there and we were praying persistently about it, consistently. We were that person that was asking, seeking, knocking. And we ultimately said, nevertheless, Lord, your will be done. And we came up and we went. It was the best thing we ever did. 1 Thessalonians 5 says this, verse 16. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. This is our verse on our website for prayer. In everything, give thanks. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Don't stop. Don't stop. So you pray in the morning. You get on your knees. You pray. Then you get up and you go to work. And you're having a tough time. You pray. You're driving on the way. You're driving to work on the way there. You pray. You're going through a tough situation. Somebody's talking to you. A supervisor, an employee, somebody who's just like upset with you. Pray as you're talking to them. Not out loud, just in your own heart, in your own mind, pray. You just hear them, and then you're praying, and you're listening to the Lord. All right, Lord, what do you want me to do? Pray. The Bible says pray without ceasing, never stop. You could literally live a lifestyle of prayer and all the time be talking to the Lord. If you do it, you'll be surprised. Every billboard will start speaking to you. You know what I mean? Every person at the coffee shop will start speaking to you. You'll start seeing the Lord everywhere. Because you're constantly looking for it. But we miss everything he's doing all the time because we're not consistent in prayer. We're not persistent in it. Be in it. One more verse on this second point about praying persistently. I love this. James 5. Like I said, we're going into James in the new year. There's so much that I could teach on in James 5 right now that we could talk about for so long. We can literally spend hours in this, but I'm just going to hone in on the prayer portion of it. James 5:13 says this. Is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing psalms. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of the faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth produced its fruit. I love this. So he talks about the effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails. Effective and fervent, okay? Non-stop and effective. Now, like I said, think about a family for a moment. Think about you, pretend that there are two children. Okay, I'm going to speak my own parable, if I may. Two children, one child that just loves spending time with mom and dad, just always hanging. How can I help? If you're baking, they're baking with you. If you're unloading the dishwasher, they're asking if they can help. And then you have another kid who's like playing video games and doesn't want to come down. And then when it's dinner time, they're like, they come down, they get a plate of food, they don't even say thank you, and they go to their room, and then they watch a YouTube video while they eat, while the family's downstairs eating. Okay? Now, I'm not saying anybody in this room can relate to any of those children, but pretend those are those two kids. Now, if you have one, the one child who says, Mom, Dad, can I have something? Can we go to the store? I want to go buy Christmas gifts. And it's the one who's always spending time with you. You're like, yes. They're always with you. They're in relationship with you. They're constantly talking with you. Let's go. The one who's upstairs on YouTube, you're like, no, you've had all this time to do it. And you're waiting until now to ask me? You know, like you have, it has to do with intimacy of relationship and being there. And the Lord's saying, pray persistently. Keep asking, keep seeking, keep knocking. Be with me. I think of Elijah. I love that Elijah is the example that's used here because Elijah had a tight relationship with God. He was so tight with God that he said, Lord, I want to take down his prayer. First of all, his prayer was righteous because he wanted to stop the rain so that the crops wouldn't grow, so that the false gods that the children of Israel were praying to would be proven false. Because they were praying to these false gods saying, this false god is helping the crops grow. And Elijah's like, I know what will help the crops not grow if they don't have rain. And then guess what? God will show himself victorious. So he was in this tight relationship with God, and he said, stop the rain, Lord. And the Lord said, okay. And there was no rain. 3.5 years. And then he has this crazy interaction on the mount, and the fire comes down. The Lord has proved faithful, and Elijah's like, all right, Lord, we can turn it back on. And the Lord's like, okay. The rain came. Do you remember? We see a storm from afar. It's beautiful. The Lord is asking us to be in relationship with him and to keep asking, to keep seeking, to keep knocking, to be close to him, to be intimate with him. So when we go into that private place and we have that intimate prayer time with him and we have that thing that we're praying for, that we're asking for, that we've constantly been, you know, it's the cry of our heart. He says, keep asking, keep seeking, keep knocking, be close in relationship with me. Not because he's this vile father, but because he's constantly trying to draw us into closer relationship with him. What he doesn't want is to reinforce bad behavior. If you have this terrible relationship with him, he's not just going to be like, sure, I'll give you whatever you want. Sure, sure, sure. Because you know what he ultimately wants is a relationship with you. That's how it's always been. Literally, since the Garden of Eden, all he wants, all he desires is to spend time with us. That's the cry of our father. So it's not that he's like answering prayers or not answering prayers because he just like likes you one day, doesn't like you the other day. He's always trying to draw you closer in relationship with him. That's his desire. be consistent, be persistent in prayer. Effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails. And then the last passage of scripture, continuing in Luke, this is what he wanted to share in Luke chapter 11, right after he shares the Lord's Prayer, and then he shares about the persistent person knocking on the door, asking for the loaves of bread. He says this in 11, verse 9. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. If a son asks for bread from any father among you, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent instead of a fish? Or if he asks for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Here's what the Lord's saying. This point three is pray with expectation. He's saying, if you pray and ask according to his will, he will answer it. He will. He will answer it. This is pretty cool because he answers prayers not because of how great we are, but because of how great he is. It's not that we are so righteous that the Lord's like, yes. No, God answers prayers according to his will because that's his desire for us. Now we have Jesus. Jesus prepared the way for us. Or John the Baptist prepared the way for Jesus. Jesus made the way for us. He is the way. The veil was torn and now we have access to the Father. We can speak to him. Have you guys ever been to a restaurant before and you went with somebody who like owns the restaurant? You guys ever had that benefit? It's like the coolest thing ever because they just bring food and they just keep bringing it. And the chef comes out and they're like, how was everything? And you're like, man, I'm like a nobody. This is awesome. I'm getting treated so well. Or like, I remember we went to SeaWorld one time with a guy who worked there. And we're like, you know, looking at the manatee exhibit. And the guy's like, hey, you want to go pet the manatees? And I'm like, yes. And, you know, they took us around this back door and we're going through this weird hallway. And then we're like at this pool where there's manatees. And we're like squatting down, petting the manatees. I'm like, this is crazy, right? Like when you're with somebody who owns the place or works at the place, it's a whole different experience. And I'm telling you right now, when we approach the Father, we have Christ with us. That's awesome, right? Like we get to go to the Lord with Christ as our advocate, with our mediator, with our intercessor. We're not going alone. We have him with us. Now, when I say pray with expectation, a lot of people will say like it's almost prideful to expect that the Lord would just like do what you ask him to do. But it's almost like this idea of assurance of salvation. Do you guys know what that is? It's where you say, I know I'm going to heaven when I die. And it's like, well, that's a prideful thing to say. And it's like, well, it's only a prideful thing to say if I think that I know I'm going to heaven because of my good works. But I know I'm going to heaven because the Lord says that if I believe in him, that I'm saved. And I do believe in him, so I'm taking him at his word. So when I say, I know that when we pray something according to his will, he will answer it. It's not because I think I'm great. It's because I know that the Lord is true and he doesn't fail to answer his promises. And so the Lord is asking us to spend time just in alignment with him. Just spend time getting in alignment with him. Right? The first point was pray humbly. We come to him humbly. We go into that secret place. Spend time with him. I'm gonna challenge you all with this. Find a space in your house. Find that spot. Some people, it's like a specific comfy chair, right? Sometimes it's a specific room in your house that you can get away into. Sometimes if you're like, hey, my house is too chaotic, there's no time in the day that it's quiet, I challenge you in that. There's a time. You might have to make room to get up early or to do whatever it is, but find that space where you have that quiet time where you could spend with Jesus. And then spend time asking him to just put you in alignment with him, right? Get on that same page. And then pray persistently. And the thing is God will expose whether or not your prayers are according to his will. He'll expose that. As you spend time with him and you're asking for these things, say, Lord, is this your will? And he'll answer that. He'll answer that prayer. He'll bring that into alignment. I have one last example. Have you ever, like, I had a friend. It always frustrated me, but I had a friend that when I wanted something to eat and I was at his house, he was like, just ask my mom. And I'm like, no, you ask your mom. She's your mom. Like, can you do me a solid and ask your mom if I could have something to eat? You know, he's like, no, you just ask her. And it's so awkward, right? Because this isn't my fridge. It's not my house. I don't know. I don't have access. But my friend does, but he wasn't willing to do that. But how do you ask for food at a friend's house versus like in your own house? In your own house, you're like, boom, fridge open. You know, you're like drawer, apple, crunch. You know, it's like it's yours. You have access to it. And the Lord is telling you, you live in my house. You have access to the fridge. You don't have to beg for scraps. This isn't like you're not at your friend's house. The Lord is not your friend's dad. He's your father. He's your father. He's calling us to spend time with him, to be persistent in prayer with him. So in closing, like, prayer is the ultimate example of, like, think about the thing in your life that you have that you can't do on your own. The thing that's just robbing you of your joy. That thing that you're like, Lord, I can control this. I can control this. Maybe right now you're in a season where you can control your finances. Sure, but there's that relationship that you don't know what to do with. Or maybe you're in a position where things are going well in your relationships, in your family, but your finances, you're like, Lord, I don't know what to do with this. You know, or whatever that may be. There's something probably in your heart that's just robbing you of that joy. That's the thing where you say, Lord, it's yours. Come to him in prayer, give it to him, and ask him to take care of it. He's a good father. He loves each and every one of you. He loves every single one of us. He's just asking you to draw near to him and to spend time in prayer with him. So come to him humbly, consistently, and expect him to answer a prayer that's in alignment with his will. Amen? All right, let's pray. Father God, I'm grateful for you. Lord, thank you so much for hearing our prayers. Lord, it's just absolutely amazing that we even get to come before you. We get to ask for forgiveness of sins. Lord, for thousands of years, there was this priestly order. We'd have to travel miles and miles with a sheep for sacrifice to die for the sins of our family. And now we can just come to you and say, Lord, forgive us. God, thank you for being a good father who loves giving good gifts to his children. Lord, I pray that we would just tap into that relationship a little bit deeper. God, that we would go a little bit deeper with you. Lord, that each one of us would feel a tad bit of conviction right now to just spend that time with you in that quiet place, in that secret place. That we would go one-on-one with you and just say, Lord, help me align with you. What of my relationships are out of alignment? How are the words that come out of my mouth out of alignment? How is the way that I spend my finances, the way that I spend my time, the way that I treat others, how are those things out of alignment? Lord, bring them into alignment. I pray that we would pray those prayers in that quiet place with you, Lord, and that you would begin to convict our hearts, change us, shape us, mold us to look more like your Son, Jesus Christ, each and every day. So God, we love you. Pray that your Spirit would constantly just encourage us, convict us, and do the work that you need to do in each and every one of our lives, God. We love you, we honor you, and we pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.